Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Amen. Listen, I don't care if you had a rotten day today. You ought to amen the fact that Jesus died
for you on Calvary. Amen. Be glad about something. Amen. Be glad you're not in hell tonight. So, you just look back on the really rotten day that you had today or yesterday or whatever, and just think, well, you know what? I could have been in hell. Amen. See, you have a rotten day, and you get up the next day, and it's not so rotten anymore. When you wake up in hell, it's rotten forever. And you're rotten forever. Amen. Good to be here tonight. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews. And that's not where I was wanting to go tonight. Where I was wanting to go, and I started studying 1 Corinthians. I'm fixing to get them mixed up again. I guess I need to put a whiteboard on my office and have right on there to keep track of everything, because it kind of gets mixed up every now and then. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight. I want us to have a word of prayer, and you pray for me that. I don't know if I want you to pray that I don't have any pain anymore. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why in a little bit, all right? But anyway, just pray for me tonight. Pray for one another tonight. Pray for the service. And I hope you're here tonight, and I hope you need a blessing really bad. And I hope God will use this church to give you that blessing. Amen? I hope He will. And so you think about that. Remember, David Toomey, he had surgery last week, and he's still, boy, he's not doing all that great. Just still in some pain. He's been running a fever from it and everything, so pray for him. And went to Janice's dad's funeral yesterday, and from what I hear, he got saved. And I'm glad for that. I don't mind a guy hanging on a cross going, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Amen. I don't mind that at all. Amen. And I've been in on situations like that where I've been on somebody's deathbed. And I'll tell you what, that's a blessing. It really is. It's a blessing. And so anyway, you pray for that family and pray that God will bless them and help them during this time. And I just sitting there yesterday listening to the funeral service, I'm thinking of my dad. You know, I'm thinking of my dad. And I just a sweet, sweet memory was getting to pray with him. God is in charge of everything. Amen. Have no doubt in my mind about it. Because I got to the hospital that morning that he died. I got to the hospital right at the right time. They were just bringing him in off the ambulance. And when I got into the room and I could see what kind of pain he was in. And they were fooling with him, attending to me, everything like that. And pretty soon, the room just cleared. And that's God.
Yes, amen.
Okay? I remember, I'm going to talk for a minute. I remember years ago, we were coming back from camp down towards Springfield, down in Nyangwa, Missouri. We were coming back, and I had a van full of kids. And there was a couple, we didn't have the church van. And we were just coming back with van loads of kids. And I remember coming up 44 Highway. And we had just got to the scene of an accident. I mean, we were just right there. We didn't see it happen. We got there right there just almost after it happened. What happened? There was a woman and her grandbaby, and I mean baby, was in a van, a minivan, that had went off. You know how curvy 44 is in some of those places, okay? She had went off the road and went down a gully that the highway department had put in one of those concrete washways, and her van slid down on it just kind of rolled over down there, and it was laying on the driver's side, and she was half hanging out the car, and she was, you know, I don't want to say she was okay because there was a van on her, but you know, she was there, and the baby was okay. And so I called, this is back before hardly anybody had a cell phone, but I borrowed Lisa's, and I called the state patrol and told them what had happened. And so there was a bunch of people around, and I had the kids,
And after I, you know, found out State Patrol was coming, and I said, ma'am, I said, I don't know what else I can do. There's people all around us, and there was somebody holding the baby. Baby was crying and carrying on and things like that, and just a big commotion. And I said, ma'am, I said, I don't know what else I can do for you. I said, but I said, I'm a minister, and I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. And I said, could I pray with you? I said, God saved you alive. And I said, I don't know where you are right now in your walk with the Lord. I said, but you need to remember that God saved your life right now, and he saved that baby's life. And I said, can I just pray for you and just pray with you and tell God thank you for what he's done and pray that God will give you a recovery from whatever's going around? She said, yes, please. And I started praying, and it sounded just like this. Listen. There was no commotion. The baby stopped crying instantly. And it wasn't, Mike Hoggart's praying. It was the presence of the Lord. And that occurred to me while I was praying. And I mentioned that, and I said, God, thank you for that. There is peace right here in this place, right here. And I mentioned that to that lady. I said, ma'am, I said, you know for a fact God's here, right here, don't you? And she said, yeah, I do. I said, don't you ever forget this. And I said, you call upon the name of the Lord. And I said, he'll be there for you. He's done shown you that today. And we left. But anyway, right there, everybody left the room. And I said, Dad, I want to pray with you. He said, yeah, do that. And I grabbed his hand and I prayed, God, help my dad. He's in a lot of pain. God, give him blessing, give him grace. And I don't remember what all I prayed. But I got done praying and I said, I love you, Dad. And he said, I love you, son. And it wasn't a couple minutes after that, his eyes rolled back. And for a couple hours, they were trying to revive him and bring him back. But I want to tell you what, that was the Lord. Amen. And you never forget when God shows up somehow, some way. You just never forget that. Can I hear you say amen? Boy, we got a good God. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this. We thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, for this place and this meeting, God. And Lord, Father, it's been a hot day and there's been some people, Lord, working outside all day. Or, Lord, maybe they've been working inside in the heat, Lord, from just the pressure of work, Lord, just bears down on us sometimes. And we come into this place, Lord, it's the middle of the week. We're tired. We can't wait for Friday. Can't wait for the weekend. And God, it just bears down on us. It gets heavy. And Lord, remind us, God, that we're actually carrying a burden that we were not meant to carry. You told us, God, that your yoke was easy and your burden was light. And Lord, I found that out, God. Lord, I was carrying burdens, God, that I was never meant to carry. And Lord, I found out just how light and how easy your burden is. And thank you, dear God, that you offered to carry my load and you offered me yours. And Lord, that you're a good God. You really are. And I thank you for that. Lord, Father, these people have come, Lord, tonight. There's folks watching, Lord, and maybe people will be listening throughout the week to this. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to them. I really do. I want to be a help. I want to be an encouragement to them. I want them to know, God, what you have told me and what you have taught me, Lord, through this book. About how things are in life and the reality, Lord, of how things go. And Lord God, that your grace truly is sufficient for every situation in life. There's not anything, God, Lord, that your grace cannot handle, that your grace cannot overcome, and that your blessing, God, cannot help us in, Lord. There's no area of life where that doesn't touch. Lord, help us to remember that and remind us of that. Remind us, dear God, that we're still human. Remind us, dear God, that we still have a body of flesh that is corrupt, that is contrary to the Spirit. Lord, it hates your law. It hates everything about it. Lord, Father, remind us of that and help us tonight, we pray. Bless your word. Bless these people, Lord, who hear it. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I was studying this today, and I looked at something. I'm going, you know what? Boy, that'd be a good little study to go on. And I made about a page and a half of notes, and I was really proud of myself and everything like that. And I got to thinking about it late this afternoon, kind of more towards service time. And I thought, you know, it seemed like maybe I've taught this maybe not too long ago. I couldn't remember.
And I know I've taught it before at some time, but I just don't know when. And I got to thinking, you know what? Maybe we ought to just go back over it again. Okay? So we're just going to kind of do a little study of the Word tonight. And maybe there's some people watching that haven't heard this before, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Maybe this is something you've heard before, and instead of you going, oh gosh, I wish he'd get a different sermon. I don't know, maybe God will give you something brand new tonight. How many of you believe that? Say amen. That's why you're supposed to read the Bible more than once. You don't read the Bible and say, well, I've read that. Where's my copy of Field and Stream now? Okay? Go back and read it again. Amen. You get something else out of it. Go back and read it again and get something else out of it. That's just how it's designed. It's a very deep book. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. And we're going to move into verse 8, and then we'll move on from that. All right? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Now I want you to think of the language. Now this beautiful, beautiful King James Bible that you've got in your hand is so intricately designed, and the language structure of it is so absolutely phenomenal. There truly is not another book in the universe that can touch this book. It doesn't compare. You cannot compare the King James to any other book in the entire world, including all the new modern translations that they have spent multitudes of millions of dollars to try to have them retranslated, reworded, reformatted, everything that they do with the Bible to try to get you to buy some kind of new Bible. It cannot and will not compare to what this King James Bible has in it. Do I hear his amen out of somebody? I want you to notice what it says. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. I want you to think about that and ponder that tonight, because this actually has a reality in it. Now, we've used this idea, thorns and things like that, and briars, in the context of what it's talking about there, and it is possible those who were once enlightened and everything, if they shall fall away. Then it gives you that beautiful analogy of like a garden. And you sow the seed and you pour the water on it. Seed is a picture of the Word of God. Water is a picture of the Word of God. And the doctrine of God is distilled as the dew upon this and so on. And you have a hope and expectation that there's going to be some fruit come out of that garden. By the way, Bonnie gave me, so what was you gave us? Zucchini or cucumbers? You gave me a little thing that had some zucchini and cucumber plants in it, and they were about this tall, and I'm proud to announce that one of them is still alive. I planted all of them, and one of them is still alive, and so I've got just a little bit of hope. I think it's zucchini. Got a little bit of hope that we're going to have some fried zucchini here before too long. Amen. I love fried zucchini. Amen. Nothing like it in the world. But anyway, I've got some hope that that will bring forth fruit. I've got some hope that my personal life will bring forth the fruit of righteousness. That God will bear these things through me. That's what I have hope for. I don't want to be a sinner for all of eternity. Amen. I don't want to go to hell forever. So I've got some hope that what God started in me, the seed that God planted in this old dirt, is going to produce the fruit of righteousness, is going to produce some kind of fruit. I've got hope that Lisa and I's marriage will produce the fruit of righteousness, where our children will be able to look at mom and daddy's marriage and all the things that they had encountered, all the things they worked through, and say, you know what? I'd like for my marriage to be like my mom and dad's marriage. That's kind of what I got a hope for. I'd like to see that fruit in my children. I'd like to see some fruit out of this church. Amen. I kind of like what I see. But I'd like to see those things, and we know for a fact that the one thing, according to this passage, that's gonna have anything to stop that, it's gonna be these thorns. It's gonna be these weed patches that grow up in the garden of our life. And I know I've talked about that here recently, but I want us to look tonight just very quickly about the symbolism of thorns and briars and what exactly does this mean? And instead of us just saying, well, I think thorns are this, or I think thorns could be this. Now, to the ancient Greeks, I always hate that kind of preaching. Amen. Now, in ancient Israel, here's what they used to, and I'm going, where did you read that from?
Where did you get that from? Did you get in a little time machine and go back 4,000 years and analyze Hebrew culture? You know what about? I don't go for that stuff. And I just never really got into that stuff because I just always ask the question, how do you know that? Where did you get that from? And so I just think that if the Bible's going to mean anything to you and I sitting here tonight, right now, that it's going to be a book of present truth. I don't really care what it meant to somebody 4,000 years ago. I'm concerned with what it means to us sitting here tonight, and God put the answers right here in the Bibles. I want you to take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Some of you are probably already familiar with this passage, but let's look at it. God has helped me understand some things about my life, about my personal life, about the things I've mentioned tonight, about my marriage, about raising children and pastoring a church or just being a Christian. God has helped me recognize some things. Now, I want to say to you tonight that you sitting here tonight and those probably a lot of you watching, and I appreciate you watching tonight, you're part of some people that's been given some light. We believe that the authorized Bible is the Word of God. We believe that it doesn't have any errors and mistakes in it. We don't believe that we have to go around retranslating the Bible in order to get something good out of it. It's good the way it is. Don't mess with it. Somebody say amen. God's given us some light about the resurrection, about the blood atonement, about salvation by grace and not by works. And I was reading something. Somebody drew my attention to a website yesterday. And I like you guys, just little flags go up, okay? I'm looking at something, I'm going, boy, that just doesn't sound right. And it was one of these, this guy's running some kind of, one of these Hebrew roots ministries that I don't know if you know what that is, but they're kind of telling, kind of making everybody think that if you're going to be a real Christian, you got to be like a Jew. And I disagree with that. I don't think, you know what I see in the Bible? Esau was jealous of Jacob. Now, let me tell you what that means. God had rejected Esau and had given, actually established his promise, his covenant through Jacob, and God provoked Esau to jealousy through that, and the New Testament clearly teaches that. And I want to tell you something, the Gentiles are not provoked to jealousy by the Jews because they don't have anything. The Jews do not have a Savior. They do not have a Messiah. They've got one waiting for them. They just won't accept it. There's not anything about Judaism that I'm jealous of or that I think that I have to make my life complete. I'm here to tell you that Christ has made my life complete. He has satisfied me in every way. And I don't think I have to turn myself into anything in order to be a good kind of Christian. I think God is the one that turns you. Somebody say amen. I think that Israel, one of these days, I'm going to tell you how I think Israel is going to be saved. Israel is going to be provoked to jealousy. Israel is going to know and understand that God, and this is clearly in the New Testament, that God saved the Gentiles without the law. Without the law. Amen. And they say, well, you don't do this, and you don't do that, and you don't wear this right, and all this stuff. And I want to tell you something. God wants to show everybody that he can take somebody who does not keep the law, cannot keep the law, breaks all of them. I like to see some old guy that has done just about everything in life that the Bible said you're not supposed to, and done it a lot, and God saved that person. Amen. Amen. You know what that says to me? That says that, Mike, there's probably a little bit of hope for somebody like you. Somebody say amen. When we find somebody, I'm not talking about somebody that's just real good and they're a good person all the time and God saves them. That's one testimony, but I like these people. I mean, they're drunkards, they're whoremongers, they're cursers. They'll spit tobacco juice at you. They'll blow their cigarette smoke at you. Amen. Flip their butts at you. Amen. They don't like you, and they hate your guts. And all of a sudden, God gets in there and saves their soul. I like that. And to be honest with you, I think this lost world needs to see some more of that stuff. Amen. To know that God saves sinners. Gentiles without the law. And I think that God is going to provoke Israel to jealousy because Israel has it in their mind, the Jews right now have it in their mind that if they can just keep the law, God will send the Messiah to them. I don't think that's it. I think God's wanting to show Israel, it's not keeping the law that saves you. It's you got to believe what I said. And Israel, God had already shown that Israel did not believe what God said in the wilderness. God said, that land's yours, go in and take it. And the 10 spies, remember the 10 spies? 10 commandments.
came back and said, we can't go in there. Joshua and Caleb, representing the age of the Gentiles, said, yes, we can. God, we believe God. God said that we could go in there and defeat those people. And those were the two who came out of Egypt that were allowed to go into the promised land. And everyone else who originally came out of Egypt died in the wilderness. But I was looking at this site, and they were talking about how they, you know, yeah, we're Yeshua this and Yehovah this, and we do all this, and now we don't like this Gentile version of Christianity. We think it ought to be this way. And they said, now we want to be clear and say that we do not believe that a person has to keep and obey the law in order to be saved. Had it in big print. I'm going, oh, okay. But you got to watch out for the but.
Amen.
It ain't what's up here. It's what's back here. Amen. You got to watch out for the but. And he said, but we believe that a truly saved person will keep the law. And you know what that meant? If you're saying all the right words the way we tell you to say them, and you're keeping all these little feast days, and you're doing all this stuff that Israel did back in the Old Testament, if you are doing this stuff, then we think that you're saved. Let me tell you something. You didn't get saved by works. The work, and I'm talking the works of the law. You will not stay saved by the works of the law. And I dare you to show me anywhere in the New Testament where it says that the proof evidence of someone who is truly born again in Christ Jesus is that they will keep all the feast days, they'll do all this and say all this the right way. Let me tell you what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Now, if you think I'm preaching a grace of disobedience, you're crazy. I'm not. But what I'm telling you is that God's grace extends to people who cannot and do not keep the law. That's what it's all about. It's about finding people who cannot do anything on their own and God saving them and then provoking all of those people who think, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Well, they told me I can't. If I'm a Christian, I have to perform this and do this. I think God saves people and uses the weak things of the world to confound and to bring down those that are strong. Now, I may have just dug a hole for myself for some people. I don't know. But I'm just saying to you tonight, I don't like works salvation. I don't like works maintenance. And I'll tell you why. It breeds a very, very dangerous thing in a person's life, in a person's mind. In fact, it is the most dangerous thing that a person can ever be guilty of. And that's pride. God smote me. And I've told this story before. Shortly after I became pastor here, had a Sunday Easter service. I looked on the board, but we had probably 125 people here that Sunday, Wayne. And I am not making this up. I walked out there, I was on my way to the restroom, and I looked at that board. It's like on a Monday or Tuesday. And I looked at that, and I'm going to tell you what, Brady, I went, guess I'm doing a good job here. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It was exactly like that. And when I stepped into this sanctuary, the Holy Ghost of God took a rod about 10 yards long and began to chase me all the way down to the altar. And God said, who do you think you are? If you ever, Mike, think that you have done anything that merits my blessings in your life, I'll chastise you until you think differently, or I'll put you out and bring somebody else in here. And I'm just as dead serious about this as anything. Listen, I like the fact that I haven't killed anybody this week.
Amen.
That kind of makes me feel good. Amen?
Amen?
I like the fact that I have not murdered somebody. I like the fact that I haven't even thought about it this week. Amen. Let's get down to where it really is. If you hate your brother, okay? I like that. Don't get me wrong. I like to please my Father with doing what's right. But the very second that I think that I've received a blessing from God because I did something right, I will. I'll go, see? Brady and Bradley, did you guys ever get into a little battle with mom and dad about who could do something the best for them? Yeah? Yeah? You guys ever have jealousy issues? Yeah, Bradley's going, bless God, I never had that issue.
He's getting honest, right?
Yeah. And it was about, well, look what I'm doing. Look at this, look at that. I love you guys to death, but what I used to hear on the phone all those years was, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. And both of you guys know that when I started detecting pride out of either one of you, I said, I'm fixing to hang this phone up right now. I'm not going to listen to it. If you want to call me and ask me questions, get help, I help you all I want to. You want to call and do a little pride smackdown on me, I'm going to hang the phone up.
Amen.
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 We've been given some light in this church. We've been given some good things in this church. God has fed us well here. God has taken good care of us. God has given us His Bible. God has given you good teaching. It's not been Mike Hoggard. It has been God. And I cannot ever, and shame on me for ever taking that credit. Okay? But you know as well as I do, and let's get honest. Let's get honest. You know down deep in the recesses of your heart, based upon what you know you've done, let's say in the past week, or let's say in the past year, that you have not deserved any of this.
Amen.
That's what I'm getting at. We don't work to perform to get God's sanction and God's blessing on it. We believe what God said, and then God will produce the right things in us, and performance will be based upon what God has done and not what we have done. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
So here's what God does. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul knew all about keeping the law. He knew all about keeping the law. Okay? And when God saved him, then God took him for 14 years and took him to Bible college. Amen? And it wasn't Peter Bible College. It wasn't James Bible College. Paul got revelations from God. He got revelations from Jesus himself. I just stand in awe of that. Okay? And get a little bit jealous of that. Okay? Because, oh, I'd like to have that. Okay? But watch what happened. Verse 7. Now let's go back to verse 6. Paul said, for though I would desire to glory. Listen to what he's saying. You know what his desire was? To glory in it. Look at me. You've seen, how do you know a general from a private in the army? All you gotta do is look right here where the heart is. Amen? Look here where the pride is, because the generals have got all, I don't even know what all that stuff is. I've never been in the military. But it looks impressive. This is what I've done. This sets me apart from everybody else. Okay? And Paul said, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And I want to tell you something. I would tell that to anybody in this world. Do not think very highly of me. You might like the teaching. You might like, I'm telling you, I can think every now and then that because I have a mouth, two lungs, and a personality, that I think every now and then I can come out here and do this without God's help. And I'm telling you, so I don't like the results.
Amen.
I don't like the results.
Amen.
But I can tell you that there are people out there with a mouth, two lungs, and a personality that can get out in front of people in a religious setting and tell them anything in the world, and it's all about the delivery and the voice inflections and everything like that. It's all about the professionalism, and they can make people believe anything in the world. That doesn't mean that truth is coming out of my mouth. Let me hear you say amen. Okay? This is, let's hate Mike Hoggard night. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. We don't know how long that's been building up. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Paul said, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Paul was very, very, Paul had been down this road, and he was very, very serious about this issue, about being lifted up. And you know, Paul had an office that only 13 other men in the whole world have ever had this office. And that is of an apostle. Only 13 other men other than Paul have ever held this office. And that is the office of apostle. There are not apostles right now. We do not continue on the office of apostle. Anybody who says I'm apostle this, they're lying through the... They're falsely so-called. They call themselves apostles and they're lying. So he says in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given, there was given to me a what? A thorn. Now, let's stop for a minute. Because didn't Paul here in Hebrews just say, but that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, is nigh unto cursing, whose end is be burned? Okay? Didn't he just say that? Well, let's look at it. Look at what he said. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And then he's telling you what it is. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. A thorn was given to him in his flesh. Now I want you to notice that Paul is not specific about what aspect of his flesh it was in. Okay? And that's done for a reason. Because everybody here, in fact, I want to do this just for a minute, and I think people have multiple thorns. Okay? And some of them you would never say openly. Is that fair enough to everybody?
Amen.
Okay? We would never say openly, and we don't need to. Okay? I've heard of some of these church services where some of these guys will take over, and there'll be a spirit in this thing, and whoever's up running the meeting will demand that people stand up and publicly confess some of the worst sins that anybody's ever done and demand that they do it in order to be forgiven. And I want to tell you something, and maybe you guys have never, but we have an online audience of people that have been through all kinds of stuff. And I guarantee you there's some people out there watching that have seen something like this where somebody has demanded publicly that they confess some kind of terrible sin in order to be forgiven. And I'm here to tell you it's not biblical, it's not right. And if you're ever in a religious service where they say, in order for God to really forgive you, you want to be free, then you say it right here, right now. And they'll pump them and work them and make them think that God will not forgive them until they tell the whole world what they've done. That is unbiblical. And if you find yourself in that situation, you run out of there. And don't think for a minute that God's not going to forgive your sins. He didn't tell you to tell everybody else. He told you to tell Him. We have a faithful high priest who's ready to hear you. Any time of the day, day or night. And he won't go around blabbing his mouth to everybody. Somebody say amen. But maybe tonight, just for a minute, there's an issue in your life. And it can be comical. It can be something light. That's okay. Okay? But just some kind of little issue in your life that it plagues you from time to time. And you would like for it to go away. But down deep in your heart, you know that when that issue hits, those are the times really when you start to really get spiritual. You do a little bit more praying. You do a little bit more Bible study. You're looking for help and you're asking God for help. Who in here knows what I'm talking about? Say amen. So maybe you're here tonight, and I'll just start it out. And I'll just tell you that God here, in just last couple of years, because I've had accidents at work. I've been in a couple car accidents. You all know about the electrocution and things like that. And I have a carryover from when I was a teenager. I've got a bad lower back. I've always had that all my life. And now I've got about three issues in my spine and now in my shoulders. I was wearing a jacket yesterday in my office to cover my shoulders up because the arthritis, it was just killing me. It was hurting me real bad. And then, of course, the little Sunday-itis thing is the reason why I got the little stool there, okay? That is something that... It plagues me, okay? I'm battling a headache tonight. I've already taken the pain medicine that the doctor told me to take, okay? It ain't helping. It's maybe helping a little bit, but every time I move my head or talk real loud, boy, it hurts. Okay? And especially on Sunday morning, I just want to teach and I want to give everything I've got. And this little thing that's been hitting me on Sunday morning, I mean, it was bothering me. I think last Sunday morning, I was in the bathroom 5 times from before I left the house until right before, well, you saw me go out during the song service, had to go to the bathroom one more time. And I got down there, I was mad. I was angry that I had to do that. Okay? God, it's yours. Okay? It's yours. And if for no other reason, I think Harmon said we had probably 630 some odd people tuned in Sunday morning. That's 100 more than it was last Sunday. And you know what? I'll take the thorn. Because the last thing in the world that I want to do with everybody's eyes on me is for me or anybody else to think that I'm some super hot dog. I'm not. I have afflictions in my physical body that bring me down. And I pray about them. I prayed specifically, God, take this away. God said, Mike, I'll just give you grace. How's that? And I'm here to tell you, I'll take the grace. I'll take the grace every time. The charismatic movement is trying to pump your mind with the idea that you can be totally sinless, you can be totally victorious, you can be totally illness-free, totally out of debt, totally this, totally that. All you got to do is do one more thing. Now all you got to do is do it. Yeah, obviously you're not doing everything, so do one more thing. And when it doesn't work, they'll throw one more thing at you that it'll work now if you do this. And then when you do it, they say, well, there's obviously something else. And it's a constant battle on how good or how much you can perform in order to finally achieve this perfection level here on this earth. And I'm here to tell you, I want to make you free from that. I want to tell you that God will give you a thorn to keep you where, so that He can use you. And the last thing I want in the world, I didn't been down this road, the last thing I want in the world is to get into a place in my life where God says, I cannot use you anymore. That would bother me. That would just about kill me. It'd be about like if my wife come home and said, I don't love you anymore. Okay? Really? You know what? And I could probably get over that. I wouldn't want to. But for God to look at me and say, depart from me. I never want to hear those words. So if it takes a thorn or two, so that He can deliver grace to me, I'll take the grace. Who in here has got something you just want to, just real quickly, just want to share it? Now again, I don't want to hear your deep stuff.
Transportation. I've had nothing but troubles with both my vehicles since I've been coming to church.
Really?
It's been worse. And I give them a squeeze by, you know. I got little things I got to do to each one every day just to keep them running.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care.
His grace is sufficient.
Grace is sufficient. I don't care. I have to do it the rest of my life. I don't care.
Now stop and ask yourself this question. How many services have you missed because you couldn't get here because of a car? Since you've been coming. Since
I thought of that too. None.
Zero.
We've bought one of Tom's car.
None. I make sure I'm...
Zero. Here. And you know how to fix cars, don't you? See, that wouldn't be much of a thorn for me because I'm going, I don't care. Cars, I don't fix them anyway. Okay? I appreciate you sharing that. That's a thorn, and He'll just take the grace. Amen. It'll make you pray. It'll make you humble. Amen. It'll make you think that you're not the best thing that walked on the earth. Yes, Rose? Your back trouble. It is. Okay? And if this is real funny, because if you watch the faith healing shows, 99% of those people got a backache.
Yeah.
It's funny. And you know what? I could fake that. Oh, my back hurts. Oh, I've just got, oh God, the doctor told me that my back is just so bad. And boom, oh, look at me. Look what I can do. Woo! And they'll pass another offering plate and take up all your money because it looks like he healed somebody. A bunch of fake, phony stuff. Amen. Amen. Who else has got something else? Yes, Bonnie. Okay. Yeah. And you've had another bout with cancer since you've been here too. Okay? His grace has been sufficient for you in every situation. Amen? It just keeps you humble. Who else? Go ahead, Kathy. Huh? Pancreatitis? Okay. You don't like staying in the hospital, do you? Okay? That's exactly right. And if that's what, and you know what you do? You tell God, God, I didn't think I was that bullheaded, but apparently I am because you know me better than anybody. And if that's what it takes to get my head in this Bible, then you do it. Amen. Yes, Taylor. Been losing a lot of friends. That's a thorn. Because especially at your age, you guys listen to me. Okay, you kids listen to me. Especially at your age, you are starving for acceptance. And you would do just about anything to get people to like you. And at your age, Taylor, I appreciate you saying that. That is bold. Amen. For you to be able to say that, okay? Especially at your age, God's giving. And I want to tell you what God did with me, Taylor, okay? That was my thing, was I wanted to be accepted. When I got to Bible college, I went along with everything I was hearing, guys, because I wanted to be Mr. Popularity. I have this personality, and I act up in front of everybody. I can make people laugh, and I can make people feel comfortable and everything. So by my third year in Bible college, I'm student body chaplain. I didn't want to be president. I wanted to be student body chaplain. And everybody's looking to me. Oh, they called me Father Hoggard. It was hilarious, okay? And so you know what I did? I went along with everything that they were telling me and everything they were doing. I went along with it. And the devil used my weakness of wanting to be accepted by everybody to tell me that the King James Bible wasn't right. Okay? And I fell for it. And when I decided to turn around and get back in this Bible, I started sharing it with minister friends. And I went, you mean you don't believe the Bible's the Word of God? And I lost a pastor friend. And then I lost a couple more. And I had an ambition of wanting to preach at the state meeting of Free Will Baptists. And then eventually maybe the National Association of Free Will Baptists. Reverend Michael Hoggard, who's going to be preaching up. I had that ambition. And it dawned on me, they're not going to ask me to preach. Amen. And eventually, in a denomination that I would have given my life for, I've lost just about all of it. And God took me one day, Taylor, and God said, now let me tell you who your real friend is. It's me. I've never left you. Amen. I've put up with you. I've watched you do things that were wrong. I've never lied to you. I've never backstabbed you. I've never gone behind your back with anybody. I've been better than any Facebook friend or anybody else in your whole life. I've been better to you than anybody. And I'll be your friend for the rest of eternity. I'll be your best friend. Amen. And I said, God, if I had to lose everybody in order to get there, I'll take it. Amen. I'll take it. Okay, you hang on to that. Somebody else got a little thorn. Something in your personality. Something in your car. Can I, let's be honest about this. Who's got a thorn of music? Appreciate your honesty. Hey, appreciate your honesty. Okay? Boy, there's music. You'd be amazed at the music I like. And it ain't rap. Okay? I don't have that thorn. Okay? I do not have that problem. You'll never hear me pull up beside you at the stoplight with my speakers going, boom, 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 boom. Toyotas just don't do that very well, okay? But I just want to tell you something, okay? There's music. I would listen to Led Zeppelin. I would listen to the Eagles. I would listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd. Okay? I like Statler Brothers. I like Merle Haggard. I'm just telling you what my flesh likes to hear. And every now and then I want to turn that over there. Okay? And I was thinking of a song this morning that I hadn't heard in years, but it came out probably in the late 60s, early 70s. And the lyrics go, "Just walk on by, wait on the corner." Who remember? "Just walk on by, wait on the corner." You know what that song means? We don't want anybody in the world to know that we're having an affair. So if you see me out in public, you just keep walking and don't look at me, and then we'll hook up later. That's adultery. That's wicked. That is wicked. Leroy Van Dyke. Okay? To have that kind of music played, you have to decide, is this pleasing to God? And I'm listening to that going, you know, and that I like that style of music. I can't listen to that. I don't want to listen to that. Okay? And so music, TV shows. Okay? Brady and Bradley and Mike Hoggard are going to preach on TV shows. Okay? And you know why? Because I've been guilty of watching them. And if you think that I'm ever going to not preach something that I've been guilty of, you're crazy. But they are strongholds and they are thorns. Okay? And I just, you just can't do it. Okay?
I was just going to say, Arizona, though, we watched yours and some of all our people's videos on occultism and music.
Now, if you're watching Mike Hoggard TV shows, that's okay. Okay? That's not as, I hope I'm not a thorn in your flesh. Amen? All right, go ahead.
Something that stuck out to me personally is the scriptures say that we're judged on every idle word we speak. Wouldn't that be every idle word we speak as well?
Probably. James said it like this: out of the same fountain proceeds blessing and curse, or something like that. Brethren, these things ought not be so. You sing good gospel music, and you come in here Sunday and praise the Lord and this and that. You walk out of here sing Conway Twitty, and I know that's old. I don't know. I don't even know who's singing. Brad Paisley, does that name ring a bell? I don't like the new stuff. Okay, of course, 30 years ago, people were going, "I don't like this new stuff." Okay, Roy. Okay, Roy has a speech impediment. Okay, you know who Roy would have been in the Bible? Moses.
Amen.
Okay, that's who he would have been. Roy has a speech impediment, and it really bothers him. And he's told me, and I like Roy because if Roy's anything, he's going to be honest. Okay, and he's told me, he said, "If you want me to pop you a good one," he said, "I will. I promise you I will." He said, "I'll tear your head off if you ever make fun of me about how I talk." That has been something, and you can just imagine how he grew up as a child with that. And kids making fun of him. And I'm sure every one of them fell down at one point or the other. Amen? Hit the ground one way or the other. Okay?
I hate to say it. Almost killed
him. Almost, okay. And listen to me. He's probably prayed, "God, I don't want this to be this way anymore." And God's told him, "Roy, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to leave that thorn there, and I'm going to give you grace." And like I said, okay, sometimes some of his letters get slurred. Sometimes some of them don't come out right. But what I can tell you from the man's heart is that he doesn't mind being honest about who he really is. That's the grace. And see, that comes out of his mouth. That's the grace that God has given him that's better than the thorn that he's got in his flesh. How many of you see that? Say amen. As far as I'm concerned, he's going to speak that way until he draws his last breath. And when he gets to heaven, he's going to sing with the angels. Amen. Somebody else, very quickly. God took over this part of the service. I didn't do it, but it was just something I had. Yes, sir.
What about co-workers?
Co-workers. They can't. I want to tell you something. They can't. In fact, one of the notes I had here is about how when the Israelites went into the land of Canaan,
The Canaanites, you know how God described those Canaanites in there? He said they're going to be thorns in your side.
With being in construction, you know how to.
I know construction.
You know, I've even thought about getting out of construction because of it.
Yeah?
I can't yet, but that's fine.
Let's see. Brain surgery? Is that where you're going?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Computer networking?
Mechanic.
Okay. What are you talking about? Mechanics are better than at speech and talking and, yeah. Mechanics have what kind of posters up on the wall, Jim?
Okay. I hear it all the time.
Listen, I guarantee you work around with a bunch of women, they'll make you blush. They'll blush you. Okay? And I'm just saying to you, God has given, you have a thorn in your flesh. And I appreciate you being honest about it. You have a thorn in your flesh. Because God has given you revelations. An abundance of them. And they're all right here. They're all right here. And God is going to be insistent that not one of us here in this church, not me, not you, not you, not any, not you guys on the board, not you ladies, not you kids, nobody is ever going to have the opportunity to lift themselves up and have people think more of them than what they really are. Because you know down deep in your heart who you really are. You know who you are. And you know the fact that God did not save you because you do this or you do that. And listen to this. You know for a fact that God has not kept you saved because of how good you've been. Every time somebody throws this, do you keep the fourth commandment? Every time somebody throws that at me, what I want to throw back is, yes, which one do you not keep? Name it. Name for me the commandment that you don't keep. So that makes us all the same then, doesn't it? God didn't say, now, to those who keep this commandment, I'm going to give them something better than everybody else. And to those who break this commandment, I'm going to give them something worse than everybody. No, it's the same. You break this law, it's the same as breaking this law. And so Jimmy boy here has got a thorn in his flesh. Okay? It may not be my thorn, but it's the same. Roy here. Okay, Roy crawled inside of a bottle and lived there for, 30, 40 years, something like that? Stayed there. Okay, I'm hard-pressed to remember how many times I actually put an alcoholic beverage to my lips. That is not my thorn. But I want to tell you something, Roy. There's no way in the world that I'm any better or worse than you. I can tell you that for a fact. Okay, now the key is how much of the garden those thorns take a hold of. And maybe we'll get into that next Wednesday night or whatever, okay? But God just kind of took this over, and I don't mind us being a little bit lighthearted tonight, amen, and just talking, and hopefully you got a blessing out of that. Amen. Just to know, and here's what I'm wanting to do. Number one, don't put yourself up here because you don't belong there. There's only one that belongs there. Amen. And his name is not the most interesting man in the world, amen? Some of you know that commercial, all right? That's a beer commercial, by the way, okay? His name is Jesus Christ. You don't belong up here. You belong down here. Okay? That's where you are. But number two, those thorns are bothering you. And those thorns are not going away. I'm here to tell you, they're not going away. Don't beat yourself and don't let the devil use that to tell you you're really not saved. You never were saved. You're not going to make it. You might as well climb out now and just go do whatever you want to do. You've had that thought. Don't do it. Listen to me now, the fact that you haven't done it yet, who kept you? God did. It wasn't you. It was God who kept you from doing that. So give him all the praise and all the glory, all the thanks, all the honor. Give him everything. Because he alone is worthy of it. Amen?
Let's stand to our feet.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.